And what we're really looking forward to is Gary just sharing a little bit about what God has been doing in his life. So he's going to come and give a testimony in a few minutes. But first, we're just going to focus on a couple of verses in Matthew chapter 10 this morning. We're just going to look at two verses. And just before we start, I want to ask, if you're a young person here, or perhaps if you've been a young person, can I ask you a question? Did you ever secretly have a crush on someone? Did you ever like someone so much that you actually couldn't talk to them? Or perhaps if you did pluck up the courage to have a conversation with that person, but you'd never actually admit it to your friends. And if someone asked you, do you fancy so-and-so? You'd say, oh, no, no way, not me. You'd be embarrassed. Well, sometimes when we are around other people, we can hide our deepest feelings about Jesus. We can be embarrassed about being open about our faith, afraid of people's reaction if we acknowledge the Savior we really believe in. So this morning, I just have one thing to say, one message I want you to think about, and it's this. Jesus has no secret disciples. Jesus has no secret disciples. I just want to focus on two verses in Matthew chapter 10, verses 31 and 32. And Jesus here is speaking to his 12 disciples. He's sending them out to the communities around. What are his disciples about to do? They're going out to acknowledge Jesus. We are Jesus' disciples, they're going to say. Come and see him. He has the words of eternal life. The kingdom of heaven is here, is near. Will you come and see Jesus? That's what they're going to do. And so Jesus sends out his disciples with these words in Matthew 10, verse 32. He says this, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. So I have some questions about this. Why? Why can't I be a secret disciple? Why can't I just have my individual beliefs and keep them to myself? Why does what I believe have to affect anyone else? Why does an outward expression of faith really matter? Well, I think we find the answers to these questions in the life story of Peter. Peter was first among all the disciples. He believed that Jesus was the Messiah. But on the night Jesus was betrayed, Peter disowned Jesus to other people. When people asked him straight, he answered, "I don't know him. I don't have a relationship with him." Yet that very night, across the crowd, Jesus looked at Peter. He loved him despite his betrayal. And a few hours later, Jesus died for Peter. So I want to say, first of all, that it's not the strength of our faith that saves us. It's the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. While Peter was still betraying Jesus, Jesus suffered and died for Peter's sin. Jesus substituted himself for Peter's guilt. He died under the weight of judgment for what Peter did. But Jesus rose again to break the power of that guilt, to offer sinners like Peter another chance. And he frees us from our failings, and he gifts us what we can't earn or deserve. It's our dependence on God's grace that saves us, not by how much faith we can work up by ourselves. Peter understood this. He knew he'd messed up and needed forgiveness. He repented and wept bitterly because of his mistakes that night. But on that morning when Jesus rose from the dead, it was Peter who ran the fastest to see Jesus. It was Peter who was most desperate for Jesus' forgiveness. all of Peter's hope and faith were on the risen Jesus. If I'm honest, my story is also like Peter's. I have disowned Jesus in my life. I've cared more about what others think than acknowledging him openly. If I let myself feel the weight of my sin before a holy God, I know I cannot bear to look Jesus in the eye because he knows the darkest corners of my heart. But Jesus looks at me, and he looks at you, and he looks at Peter. He loved me enough to die for me, despite my failings. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, he died for us. Christ died for us. My story is like Peter's story of failure, repentance, but in Jesus, forgiveness and new life. Is this your story? Is this your experience of Jesus too? But let's go on in Peter's story. What happened to him after Jesus rose from the dead? Do you remember the story by the sea that morning in Galilee? Jesus asked Peter three painful questions. Do you love me? And he asked it three times, just like the three times Peter betrayed him. Peter clearly answered Jesus from the heart. You know that I love you. He expressed his faith and love of Jesus with the words that morning by the lake. But how did Jesus respond? He said, feed my sheep. Teach, tell, acknowledge me before other people. Jesus told Peter to do the very thing he failed to do before. Tell others. Jesus has no secret disciples. You can't follow Jesus and keep it to yourself. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. If you have faith in Jesus, if you've repented and experienced God's forgiveness, Jesus calls you to acknowledge him before others. And this is no small ask. Acknowledging your faith in Jesus could cost you a lot. It could mean shame or rejection from people you care about. It could affect your position in work. It could cost you some friendships or even family relationships. If you truly intend to leave everything and follow Jesus to be his disciple, you need to be prepared for it to affect any and every part of your life. So why would you risk it? Why not just keep living out your faith privately? Or why not just separate the Christian, churchy parts of your life and keep them over there? And then the other parts of your life, like the other group of friends or your work or your leisure, that doesn't really need to change, does it? Well, just like a secret romance won't last the course of time, unless it goes public. You can't live a double life as a Christian around some people and as if you were not a Christian around others. When Peter's life was in danger that night Jesus was betrayed, he said to other people, I don't know him. But when this life is over, on the last day, God's word says, we will each one stand before God the Father and Jesus the Son, and give an account for this life we've been given. Will Jesus say, on the last day, I never knew you because you didn't acknowledge me? Jesus warns us here. If we don't take the risk, if we don't count the cost of acknowledging Jesus in this life, we'll be permanently separated from God in hell on the last day. Jesus warns us in these verses that how we live now, well, it really matters. But look at the promise Jesus makes. If you do acknowledge him now, Jesus will acknowledge you before his Father in heaven. I wonder, have you ever gone to the airport to meet a friend or perhaps a child that's coming home from a long journey? And you stand as close to the arrival's door as you can. The flight landed about 20 minutes ago, and there's crowds of faces pouring through the door, but there's one person you're waiting to see. Finally, you recognize their face. You make eye contact. You run and give them a big hug and say, "You're home." That's what we have to look forward to. That's how Jesus will recognize us on the last day. He will proudly introduce us to his Father. "This is Gary, my brother," Jesus will say to the Father. "He is your adopted child. He's finally home." Friends, living in faith isn't just a superficial feeling that comes and goes. It's not like a teenage crush that you hide in embarrassment. Faith is a relationship with Jesus that matters for eternity. And one of the ways you know it's real, that you have that saving relationship with Jesus, is that you acknowledge Jesus personally as your Savior to others, to anyone, even those closest to you. But now I have a question, another question. How? How can I acknowledge Jesus in my life? How should I declare that I am Jesus' disciple? Well, that's why Gary's here today. You don't have to invent a way to declare that you're a Christian. Here's what one pastor said: all you have to do is to profess your faith in Christ, lean back and hold your breath. Be baptized. Peter repented of his sin. He expressed his love of Jesus. And then Jesus told him to go and tell others about him, to acknowledge him. And in Acts 2, we read that Peter did just that. He raised his voice and preached to a large crowd. And these people were convicted and asked, "What should we do? How can we be saved?" Well, this is what Peter replied. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." Gary has repented of his sins. He's believed that Jesus is the only one who can gift him forgiveness for the past, present, and future. Now he's being baptized. This is a simple act of obedience to God's word. By being baptized, Gary is acknowledging his faith in Jesus to others. Gary, because you've put your faith in Jesus, because you're demonstrating that by your obedience to him and being baptized, because of this, Jesus promises to acknowledge you before his Father in heaven. He will acknowledge you as his child. And here as a church, we baptize you. We affirm this is your identity, your relationship with Jesus, your eternal status as a child of God. And we do this by baptizing you into his name, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This eternal divine relationship of love between the Father, Son, and Spirit is a relationship that you have been welcomed into through Jesus. And so by baptizing you, we affirm you so that you might have confidence, whatever life has in store for you, that underneath everything, you're a child of God. And for anyone here who's hesitating about following Jesus, if your pride or the risk of embarrassment is stopping you from acknowledging Jesus in your life, well, you're right to be afraid. It might well cost you, but he is no fool who gives up what he can't keep to gain what he can't lose. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of today. We recognize your faithfulness in Gary's life, and even though we as people, we change, you remain the same. You never change. And we thank you for your testimony in his life. We thank you for Gary's family here today. We thank you for his mom and dad and sisters. We thank you for Niamh and Lucy and Olivia and James and all they mean to us and this family in Westside. We ask, Lord, that you would bless this family. As Gary steps out in faith to follow you, would you bless them? And we hold to this promise of hope in your return, that whoever finds their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Jesus, you laid down your life willingly on the cross. You were laid in the grave, just like we're going to lay Gary down in the water. But you didn't stay dead, Lord Jesus. You rose to break the power of death and sin, not just for yourself, but for anyone who will follow you, who will lay their lives down. This is our glorious hope. This is where we know change is possible. It's only in the power of God to raise us from the dead with Christ. This is our hope now today. And we acknowledge that in Christ we can be fully alive even now. We just want to praise you and glorify you for all of your grace and love you have shown to us. And we pray that you would go with us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll hand back over to you.